Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Thank you for being here on a Sunday morning. To any of you that may be watching our service online, we welcome you and thank you for being with us. Here's a little bit of humor. Please, ladies, don't take offense. It's just to make you smile. But there was a woman who asked her husband if she could have a little peace and quiet while she cooked dinner. He went over and took the battery out of the smoke alarm. I'm glad I'm eating at El Toucan today. And Janet didn't hear that. I really didn't have that problem, but thank the Lord. All right, here we go. Romans 14 and verse 17. If you're with us, say amen. Amen. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Father, for the next few minutes, Lord, we want to take your word and we want to apply it to our life. And Lord, help us to change, because we want to become more like you. And God, for that, we give you all the thanks and praise, honor, and glory. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. If there's one word that is supposed to characterize the Christian life, it would be the word joy. For the first thing the angel said at the very first Christmas was this: Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Notice it didn't say, I'm bringing you great faith, I'm bringing you great love, I'm bringing you great peace. Those are all wonderful things. But he says, I'm bringing you good news of great joy. Joy is to characterize our lives in following Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever, you've been in a major city or even Lake Charles, and you've seen what they call walking billboards? How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, well, if you take that concept and you think about that you were going to be a walking billboard for Coke, Coke wouldn't want you out on the streets of Lake Charles as a dirty bottle with just a little red stripe and its logo not even appearing on the billboard. You wouldn't be a good representation of Coke, correct? And I think, brothers and sisters, that when we do not have joy and we call ourselves Christians, we're not the greatest representation of Jesus Christ. Because the number one characteristic of a Christian should be joy. So look at your neighbor and say, notify your face that you're saved. All throughout the life of Jesus, all throughout his ministry, everywhere he went, the Bible says that he healed them and they were filled with great joy. The Bible says that after Jesus sent out the 72 disciples, that when they came back with great joy. The Bible tells us that the early church, the new church that formed in Jerusalem, the scripture tells us, and they worshiped with great joy. It was Easter Sunday morning, and when Jesus had been resurrected, and the disciples and the women who were following him, the scripture says this: they were filled with joy. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 15 and verse 10, it tells us that when one sinner repents, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. Now, I know you Pentecostals, I'm going to get you all fired up about what I'm fixing to say this morning, because we all believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it doesn't say the angels rejoice when that happens. It says the angels throw a party in heaven when they just repent, when they just say, you know what, I want to change my ways, I want to start on this journey. When they truly repent, the angels throw a party in heaven and there's great joy. Why? Because joy should be one of the number one characteristics of us as Christians. You know, a lot of people think that being a Christian is about following the rules, following the regulations, following the rituals of Christianity. But actually, brothers and sisters, Christianity is supposed to be about joy. Look at your another neighbor and say, notify your face that you're saved. See, the Bible tells us in Romans 14 and 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy through the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, break that down. What does it mean? It's real simple. Paul is saying that it's not about what you eat and it's not about what you drink. Listen, at this beast feast, we have had Nutri-Rat. Yes, we have. We have had all kinds of things at this beast feast. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they wouldn't serve rattlesnake. Now listen, I personally am not going to eat rattlesnake. I would feel like I was digesting the devil. But the fact of the matter is, according to Paul, if you want to eat rattlesnake, there's no sin against it. It's not about what you eat and it's not about what you drink. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about righteousness, which means you're in right standing with God. It means peace. Can I have you here? And it means joy. That's what the kingdom of God is about. It's not about where you go and eat this morning after church. God wants to know, do you have my peace in you? That's Christianity. Do you have my joy living in your life? That's Christianity. Do you have my righteousness? That's what Christianity is all about. Can I get a witness here? But you know what? If you look around, most people are not enjoying their life. Most people, if you're honest, most people that you look at, they're enduring their life. And here's what I've found out. I'm reading a book right now. What it's talking about is being cynical. And do you realize that the older you get, if you're not careful, the more cynical you can become? Well, I'm glad I got three people with me this morning. That's awesome. Well, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. You get a three-year-old up here and you say, hey, baby, jump in my arms. They don't even think anything about it. They just jump. But the older we get, the less faith and trust that we have in people. Why? Because we've been burned so many times. Does that make sense? And we have to be careful that we don't become cynical Christians, joyless Christians. Can I get some amen in this house? Come on, somebody. Because most people, they're just going through the motions in life. They're not really enjoying life. They're enduring life. And they're not living their life with joy. See, anybody can be joyful when life is good. Anybody can be joyful when it's 72 degrees outside, your bills are paid, and your kids aren't going crazy. Anybody can be joyful then, but that's not the type of joy that the Christian life is supposed to be about. Here's what it says in Philippians 4 and 4. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always, not sometimes, not when you're feeling like it, not when your bills are paid, not when everything is going great, but rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It says, rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't give a little side note that says if your circumstances are well, if everything's good in your marriage and everybody's treating you right on your job. It doesn't say that. It says, regardless, always rejoice. Now, have I made a passing grade on that report card? No, neither have you. But guess what? We have something to strive to be like. If we're going to be like Christ, you say, you know what? I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to be like Christ. Then guess what? One of the number one characteristics of being like Christ is to have joy. And if I didn't know better, sometimes when you walk in on a Sunday morning, you'd wonder, are you with me? He's saying this. He's saying rejoice or be joyful, not because of bad things that are happening. No, we don't give joy for that. But in all things, we can give thanks. In all things. He's saying in spite of what we go through, we can rejoice in the Lord. Well, you say, Pastor, how do we do that? We're going to get started. If you have our app, you can go to our app, and in that app is our notes, and you can follow right along with me. If you don't have our app, ask somebody. Maybe they can help you. Romans 8 and 1, here's what it says. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here's the number one way that I can have joy. Are you ready? I can have joy knowing that my past is completely forgiven. There is no sin, ladies and gentlemen, that you have committed outside of blaspheming the Holy Ghost that you cannot be forgiven of. It may not make you as happy as it makes me, but hey, I'm glad to know that all of my past, according to the scripture, he has placed as far as the east is from the west, and it is in the sea of forgetfulness, according to the word of God. You can have your past forgiven, and you can have a purpose for living, and you know what? That ought to bring you joy. Because the scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit. You don't have to be condemned. When the enemy brings up your past, you can bring up his future. Yeah, I know where I came from, but I know where you're going. And where I came from, hey, listen here, it was bad, but it's not nearly as bad as where you're going. And I don't have to go there because my past has been forgiven. It's been covered under the blood. Man, I want to get excited this morning, because if you don't have any joy in your life, then you need to remind yourself, all of my ugly past has been totally taken care of because of what Jesus did for me at Calvary. Does that make sense? Isn't that great? Look at your neighbor and tell him, man, your past is forgiven. That's wonderful. That doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. We've all made mistakes. As your pastor, I've made mistakes. As your pastor, I have sinned. I haven't done it right. We all have a legitimate reason to feel regrets or shame or to feel remorse or something that we have done in our past. We can all feel that, man, I blew it, you know. And because of that, do you know that most people live under self-condemnation because of what they've done? Are y'all with me? See, that's why we're not joyful. We go around most of the time, even as Christians, we go around and we're saying, well, I should be different, and I should do this, and I should pray, and I should have taught this, and I should have been there, and I should have done that. And because of that, we're constantly staying under this self-condemnation. See, the way God wired us is that when we violate our conscience, it figures out a way to get even. See, we may not like this, but we may try to overthrow it, but it doesn't work. We may try to rationalize it in our minds and say, well, you know, it wasn't all that bad. It really, what we did wasn't all that bad. But in our heart, we know it's wrong. And so what we start doing is telling ourselves lies. But it doesn't work. And when you violate your conscience, it figures out a way to get even. You may even get sick. A person may have all kinds of relational conflicts. You may even self-sabotage yourself. Because God wants you to have this thing called a conscience that when you do wrong, you're able to come to Him. Now, some people take this verse and say, no condemnation means you can do sin, you can do whatever you want, and God doesn't condemn you. Ladies and gentlemen, nowhere in the scripture can I find that if you want to dine with the devil all your life, then you can do that and then go live in heaven. Always going to get quiet, isn't it? Some people take that and misconstrue that scripture. Why would you for 40 years want to dine with the devil and live for him all your life and then at the very last minute decide, well, I'm going to go be with Jesus now? That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about that every sin that you've ever done, when you come to Christ and you ask him to forgive you, there is therefore now no condemnation. He wipes that away, and you don't have to live with the shame and the fear and the regret of what you used to be. Now you can walk in freedom in Christ Jesus and say, that's maybe where I came from, but that's not who I am and that's not where I'm going. That's in my past. That is the no condemnation that this scripture is talking about. Does that make sense? See, God doesn't want us to live in sin. Why? Because that is not the characteristic of Jesus Christ. If you want to be the characteristic of Christ, one of them is joy. The next one is you want to do your best not to live in sin, but to live overcoming sin as Jesus did. Does that make sense? See, Jesus didn't come so that you would have to just trudge your way through it. He came so that you can overcome sin and sickness. So you say, well, Pastor, does God ever want me to feel guilty? Well, sure he does. He wants you to feel guilty long enough to say, God, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? See, none of us, brothers and sisters, are ever going to have real joy until we experience salvation. You say, how do you know that? The Bible tells me in Psalm 13 and 5, it says this, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. It is the joy of being forgiven. When I know I'm forgiven, then I can have a clear conscience. I know my past is forgiven. Let me go to the second reason why that you can have joy. Because God gives us eternal life. See, the disciples, they came back and they were so excited that they were able to cast out demons. And here's what Jesus said. Hey, guys, that's great. Awesome. Here's what Jesus said. Don't rejoice that demons are subject to you. He's like, that's really not that big of a deal. Here's the big deal. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what you get excited about. You say, Brother Nealon, man, my world is not going great. I don't really have a whole lot of reason for joy. Yes, you do. Number one, your past is forgiven. Second reason you have a lot of joy is because God gives you a purpose. When you get saved, he has a purpose for you. Here's the third reason is because according to the scripture, if you're saved and you're in Christ, then guess what? You have a home in heaven. And if I could stop right here, I could stop preaching right here, and I could just say, you're all dismissed, and you would have enough reason to be joyful in your life. Every day I wake up, thank God that my past is forgiven. Thank God I have a reason for living, and thank God I have a home in heaven. And praise God. Can I preach a little bit this morning? I had one of my friends who travels abroad quite a bit, goes into third world countries. He came to me and he said, Wayne, he said, here's what I found in all of my traveling in third world countries and preaching in America and all of this. This is what he said. I found out this. He said, I have found out and I have watched that those that have the least worship the most. And those that have the most worship the least. And I got to thinking, man, that's such a profound statement. Because you know what we do? We look at what we don't have instead of what we do have. We don't remind ourselves every day, you know what? Life may not be great. This may not be a cloud nine day. But guess what? My past is forgiven. I have a purpose for living. And I have a home in heaven. And it ain't gonna always be like this. I don't rejoice because I can look at a devil and tell them, shut up, and they listen to me and I rebuke you. I rejoice that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, let's just admit this morning that if we had hope in this life only, that's kind of miserable. Because when you wake up and you get the report, this one was abused and that one was raped and somebody walked into this school and shot 7 of their classmates. None of that is good news. That's all tragic news. I mean, it's tragic what is going on when you look at our world. But the Bible says this, we can have joy knowing that this is not the end of the road. We can have joy in knowing that we have a home in eternity called heaven. We may spend 60 years, we may spend 80 years, we may spend 100 years here, but when your heart stops beating, that's going to be the end of your life here, but it's not going to be the end of you. Ooh, I feel like preaching this morning because Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never die. What does that mean? It means when you take your last breath of natural air, you're going to take your first breath of celestial air because you're going to never die if you're in Christ. Because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if it is in you, it's going to resurrect you. Hallelujah. That gives me great joy. To know the devil can't hang my past over my head. And regardless of all the foolish things I've ever done, he still has a place for me in heaven. Does that make sense? Here's what the Bible says in Romans 8 and 11. But if the spirit of him, that means God, if the spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that word means make alive, your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. What did I just say? It's real simple. If Christ's spirit is in you when you die, then guess what? That means you're a child of God. I told someone this morning, if someone walked up to you and said, look, a 13-year-old said, look, I'm your daughter. And you're like, I've never seen you before in all my life. Well, she said, well, I'm here to tell you, I'm your daughter. And you're like, wow, I didn't know that. You know what you could do now? You could go and take a DNA test. You could take a DNA test, and if DNA don't match, she's not your daughter. Which means that you're not legally required or obligated to take care of that individual. Right? Okay, here's my point. If you and I do not have the Spirit of Christ in us, then God is not our Father. You say, that's harsh. But the Lord looked at the Pharisees and says, you're of your father, the devil. So you have one or two fathers. Either God is your father or the devil's your father. You say, how do I know? Well, if you're doing good and producing the works of righteousness, then God's your father. But if you're not producing the works of righteousness and the works of sin, then the devil's your father. And you can't, God is no longer, it's not that he doesn't love you, but he's not obligated to take care of you. Why? Because you're not his child. How do I know if I'm God's child? I have his DNA. What's his DNA? His spirit. How do I get his spirit? I get full of his spirit. I'm baptized in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm baptized in his spirit. Does that make sense? I'm full of his spirit. When I'm full of his spirit, then that means that that very spirit, see what Jesus does is Jesus takes, or God takes that spirit and he fills me with his spirit. Now I have his DNA, I'm his child, and that means that on that day that Gabriel blows that trumpet, God's going to look and says, that one's mine, that one's mine, that one's mine. And the graves just go, poof, 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 poof. Why? Because you have the spirit of Christ. He's going to quicken your mortal body. The same way he resurrected Jesus is going to be the same way he's going to resurrect you and I. Now that gives us great reason to have joy. Does that make sense? Oh, my Lord. All right, I got to hurry. Number three, here it is. If I'm in Christ, then guess what? God is working all things. Say all things. All things, not some things, all things for my good. Here's Romans 8 and 28. Romans 8 and 28 is one of the great promises of the entire Bible. It's one of the great promises of the Bible. What's Romans 8 and 28? It just says that he's working all things together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that all of my mistakes, the good, the bad, and the ugly, he can work it all for good. Can he do that for everyone? No, not for everyone, because it says for those who love the Lord. If you don't love the Lord, he can't take all of that good, bad, and ugly and make it work for you. But if you love the Lord, he can. Does that make sense? See, just knowing that even my past, when I made some foolish decisions and pardon my language, but I screwed up, he can take that. And he can turn that in for good. See, I'm not picking on anyone, but Brother Glenn, he made some mistakes. He's the first to admit it. But you know what? God is now taking that for good, and saying, he's giving him a testimony and saying, if God can bring me out, God can bring you out. That's how God works. But now if you're not serving God, he can't do that. That's why you want to make sure if you haven't given your life to Christ and you haven't come to him in repentance, you want to come to him in repentance. And you want to say, God, fill me with your spirit, because I want all of this good, bad, and ugly to work for my good and not for my bad. That's one thing that can give you joy. See, but here's what most people do. Here's what I found out most people do. Most people always talking about not enough. You ask them the question, how much rest you get? Not enough. How much money you got on you? Not enough. How long was vacation? Not long enough. Can I get a witness? And that's what we focus on. We focus on we're not getting enough. We didn't get enough rest. We don't have enough money. We don't have a long enough vacation. Man, I wish I could preach this morning. Social media is good if it's used for good purposes, but it can also be used for bad if you're looking at everybody's life and they're posting all this stuff and they're acting like they got this perfect life. And I'm going to tell you, there's no such thing as a perfect life. They may have had a few good days of vacation in Italy or something. They don't have a perfect life, y'all. And if you're looking at this one and saying, boy, they got this and this one's got that, Paul said it is so unwise for you to compare yourself among yourself. Amen. Why? Because there's some things you look and you're like, I'm better than them, so that can bring pride. And then there's some things you look and say, I'm worse than them, and that can be discouragement. So either way you go, it's a dead-end street, because pride is not good and discouragement's not good. And it all comes from you comparing yourself to somebody else's social media page. Can I just use the word? That is ludicrous. Be who you are. Just be who you are and quit looking at ball stars and Hollywood stars and this one and that one, because for the most part, they don't have their life together. They're just showing you the best of their day. And then we're comparing ourselves to them, and guess what? Then we're feeling like, you know, man, my life is nothing. I don't have this and I don't have that. And Paul says, I'm going to encourage you, quit doing that, because that kills your joy. That takes all the joy out of your life, because now you're looking at what you don't have instead of what you do have. Remind yourself, you know what? I am been totally forgiven by Christ. I have a purpose for living. I have a home in heaven. And all of this stupid stuff that I did, God's going to use it for my good, and he's going to get glory out of it. Thank God I can be joyful about that. Does that make sense? What I'm trying to do this morning is I want to replace old tapes with God's truth. See, I'm not the most joyful person. I'm just transparent with you this morning. I'm probably preaching this message to me more than I am anyone, because I don't like the way I've been the last few weeks. I've been looking at some things that I don't have. And every time I do that, it kills my joy. Because here's what I found out. When my trust in God gets low, my anxiety gets high. Because now all of a sudden I'm thinking, man, I got to make this happen. And then I start getting anxious, because I start looking at somebody else's church and I say, man, how y'all do? Oh, well, we're having revival. Oh, people praying. Oh, well, praise God. That's awesome. I hadn't prayed nobody through in months. See what I'm saying? Hey, well, how's your marriage? Man, my marriage has never been better. Well, I'm glad for you. How's your marriage, man? It's in the toilet. And then because ours is in the toilet and theirs has never been better, then guess what? Joy goes out the window. Because their world is on top and our world's on bottom. Guess what? Joy goes. Right now, because we don't know how things are going to shake out, then we start getting anxious, because trust is low. And when trust is low, anxiety is high. Anxiety will kill your joy every time. What do I do, Pastor? You had to go back and you've got to quote the word. You got to say, Father, in your word, you say, Lord, that you attend every sparrow's funeral. And if you attend every sparrow's funeral and you care about them, then how much more do you care about me? And Lord, if you made sure all the hundreds of millions of birds got something to eat today, I'm way more valuable than 100 million birds. You're going to make sure that I'm all right. And you got to remind yourself of that, because if you don't, you keep going down, down, down. Why? Because you're looking at what you don't have instead of what you do have. And what we tend to do as humans is we magnify our problem and minimize our God, when we should be magnifying our God and minimizing our problems. Can I preach this morning? Let me ask you one question. I'm being sincere. I want you to raise your hand, and I'm being as sincere as I can be. If God has ever, ever failed you, raise your hand. That's what I thought. You know what? He's never failed you. You've been 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, 80 years, and guess what? Do you think he's going to start now? Has God fallen off of his throne? Can he not pay his light bill in heaven? Can he not see his way around? Brothers and sisters, if he kept you this far, he's not going to leave you or drop you now. Hebrews 13 tells us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Can I get a witness this morning? We need to replace old tapes with God's truth. What do you mean by that? Well, in my flesh, I'm not enough. But I'm not just flesh. I'm also spirit. And because I have the Spirit of the living God inside of me, my God is more than enough. Say it with me. My God is more than enough. I don't know what you have need of this morning, but here's the good news. Your God is more than enough. We just start needing to tell ourselves, you know what? I'm going to do the best that I can with what I have. Even if we don't get it all right, God said he's still going to work it for my good. So how can we have joy even in tough times? Where there's two things that we could do. Number one, we can look past the problem. Here's Hebrews 12:2. It says this, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. What does that mean? It means this, that God saw the cross, but he looked beyond the cross and he saw the reward. He saw the millions, perhaps even billions of people that were going to come to know him through the power of the cross. So he looked beyond the pain of the cross and saw the reward. And so he endured the cross, despising the shame, but said, I'm going to endure this because I know the reward that's coming. I'm going to be able to birth the New Testament church. Now here's what I'm talking to myself about right now. There's some things that I want to incorporate personally into my life. It's going to cause me pain. I'm talking to myself at this day, on these days, and saying, Wayne, look beyond the pain of that and look at the rewards of that. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Let's break it down practically. It means that if you want to lose weight, don't be looking in the mirror at who you are now. Get a mental picture in your mind and say, "Woo, I'm going to be looking stunning when I put that on. Janet's going to really like me in this." You can't see where you are now. Because if you see where you are now, the pain of going to the gym will override what you want. But if you get in your mind, man, if I start working out, well, my wife, I'm going to be able to flex. And I'm going to say, you can climb Mount Everest, baby, if you want to. Woo! This man take care of you. That's hilarious, isn't it? Did you get the mental picture? That's all I wanted, is for you to get the picture. You got to be able to look past the pain and see the gain. You got to be able to endure some stuff. You don't like going to the gym, but you like the result of the gym. He didn't like going to the cross. He liked the result of the cross. I don't like fasting. I like the result of the anointing being upon my life. I like the power of God flowing in our services. You got to look beyond that. Does that make sense? Okay, here's the second thing we need to do if we're going to experience joy, is to keep doing the right thing even when we don't feel like it. Here's what the Bible said in Psalm 119:1 and verse 143. It says this, trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. What does that mean? It means I find joy in your command. Joy comes from doing the right thing. See, if you're in your... can't get into that. Here, number four, I got to go. If we're in Christ, then here's how I can have joy, is because God is for us. Look at three people and tell them God's for us. Tell them God's for us. See, God's not just in me. He's not just on my side. God is for us. Here's what Romans 8 and 31 says. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God likes you and you like you and other people don't like you, that's their problem. One plus God equals a majority. You got that? Did you know that psychologists say there's 645 different fears that most people face? 645 different fears. That's a lot of fears. Fear of public speaking, the fear of dying, the fear of failure, the fear of being embarrassed, the fear of not pleasing people, the fear of death, the fear of losing our minds, the fear of disapproval, the fear of rejection. And guess what? Satan uses all of these fears to rob us of our joy. You say, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. Satan knows that doing the right thing will always bring joy in your life. So he makes us afraid. What do you mean? I mean this, that you know the right thing to do is living for the Lord, but you don't tell anybody else because you think if I tell somebody else about the Lord, they may think I'm a Jesus freak. Fear is a liar. But yet fear robs us of joy because we're more concerned about what other people think than what he thinks. And brothers and sisters, I just want to come alongside you this morning and in a sense encourage you to get rid of some old tapes and to get God's truth in your spirit. Because listen, if you're going around and you're trying to please people and after 40 years you still hadn't pleased them, guess what? You're probably not going to. I'm not trying to be rude or ugly. I promise you I'm not. But if you hadn't pleased your mom and daddy after 40 years, you're probably not going to get their approval. If you still hadn't pleased your wife and your best friend after 40 years, you're probably not going to get it. But guess what? You don't need it. You don't need it to be happy. If God is happy with you and you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then, sweetheart, you and God are a majority. And here's what I have found out, that if you live righteous and godly, you will suffer persecution. That's just it. If nobody's saying anything bad about you, it's because you're not standing up for anything. But if you're willing to have convictions and say, look, I'm not trying to be hurtful. I love the person, but I hate the sin. You know, if that's what you want to do, that's your business. But according to the word of God, that's not what he wants for you. Then guess what? There's going to be people that's going to say, well, you're harsh. You're not loving. You're not accepting. You're just going to have to take it and say, hey, I do. I love people. I'm not trying to be harsh, but I'm going to stay with this. The word of God I believe is right, and I'm going to build my life on the word of the Lord. And you may not like me, but I don't need you liking me for him to love me. Come on, somebody. Can I say it again? I don't need you to like me. I want you to, but I don't need you to like me in order for him to love me. I'd rather please him and displease you and make heaven than please you and displease him and go to. Can I have a witness? See, God says this in Romans 8 and 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God that justifies. Guess what? I don't mean this rudely, but you can't justify me. Only he can. Only he justifies me. He's like, who can condemn you? Who can accuse you? It's I that justifies you. See, God says my past is forgiven and I'm under no condemnation. Is that because I deserve it? No, not because I deserve it, but because of his grace. See, God wants you to get rid of the fear of rejection. The Bible says in this world, you're going to have persecution. Beware, the scripture says, when all men speak well of you. Not everybody's going to speak well of you, especially if you have strong convictions. Do you got that? Here's number five, and I'm hurrying. I'm hastening. If I'm in Christ, then here's the next thing I can be joyful about. God, the Bible says, is going to meet all my need. Okay, I got to hurry here. Here's what the scripture says in Romans 8 and 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What does that mean? It means your number one problem, and my number one problem was a sin issue. Don't forget this. This is very important. The number one problem with mankind is a sin issue. Why? Because God is holy and man is not, and sin separates God from man because of sin. So what God did is he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to come and die on a cross so that he could take care of your number one problem, and that is your sin. Now, because of what Jesus did for you, God is no longer angry with you nor I. And he took care of the biggest issue in your life and my life, and that was the sin issue. Now we can come boldly to the Lord, and we can ask God to forgive us. Now, here's what this verse is saying. If Jesus took care of the number one issue in your life, then don't you think he's also concerned about the other issues? That's what that means. He would freely give us all things. That verse meant that Jesus came and took care of your number one issue, which is sin. So if he took care of that, it stands to reason he also cares about your finances. He also cares about your relationship. He also cares about your marriage. He also cares about your home. If he was willing to take care of the number one problem in our life, he's willing to take care of all those other things. And that's why I can have joy. Okay? What are you trying to do, Pastor? I'm trying to replace old tapes with God's truth. Because realistically, the church of the living God should have the most joy of any people on the planet. Why? Well, number one, because my past is forgiven. Number two, because I have a home in heaven. Number three is because all things that I've done that haven't been good, he can use it for the good. Here's another reason, is because he says that I will take care of all your need. I can have joy in knowing that even though my life is not great right now, God doesn't forget where I'm at. Did that make sense? Okay. See, God doesn't say that he'll take care of your greeds. In other words, God didn't promise you a Rolls Royce and a Mack mansion on a hilltop in Beverly Hills. That's not what that's saying. He's saying, my God shall supply your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. God said, I'll meet all of your needs. Do you know that when Trey and Molly and their needs are met and they're happy, it looks good on me and Janet? I truly am hurrying, but I want to give you this illustration. If Molly and Trey constantly kept their head down, Trey, Molly, how you doing? Good. What's going on in life? Not much. How's your mom and daddy? Okay. Happy about life? Well, it's life. Who cares? Well, man, what's happening? Oh, you know, same old, who cares? You can be like, man, I kind of wonder what's going on in the Nealon's home. But Trey and Molly don't really seem to be too excited. Seems like there's something maybe going on. We come to church. How you doing? Oh, okay. What's going on? Not much. How's life? Oh, well, it could be better. Love Jesus? Yeah, some days. And then we wonder why people don't just flock to our church. Because to be honest, we're not really a good billboard for Christianity. Here's what the Bible says. To those of you, I'm going to give two verses here, and I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to give two verses. To those of you that don't really know Christ, here's what the Bible says. In Psalm, it says this, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. If you don't know God and you're not in Christ, then guess what? You're never going to experience full joy. Why? Because you can't. Because your past is constantly condemning you. So you can't. You can't have fullness of joy. Okay? And if you're here this morning and you're away from the Lord, then I'm going to encourage you to pray what David prayed. He prayed this. He said, Lord, would you restore unto me the joy of my salvation? You know why? Because you and I will truly never find joy and happiness and peace when we're out there doing what we want to do. Being the own, we're the CEO of our life. We're going to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And God says, you know what? You can never have joy like that. Because joy comes from doing the right thing. Joy comes from having a clean conscience toward God and man. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Would you stand with me? Here's the last reason that you can have joy, and then I'm done. You ready? God will never, say this with me, God will never stop loving me. See, we've been taught that when we sin, then God's mad. That's the way we've been taught. God's mad. He's all upset because I sinned. Really, y'all? We haven't really thought that one through. When Trey or Molly disobeys me, I don't all of a sudden say, I'm done with you. I'm kicking your tail out, and I no longer will ever love you again. That's just ludicrous. That's like a baby trying to walk, and it falls down, and we said, okay, you had your chance. You messed up once. I'm done with you. And yet, for some reason, I don't know how we got this, but that's really how we think the Lord thinks about us. Okay, you screwed up. I'm done. You're out. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how many times I picked Trey and Molly up. It didn't matter. I never was counting. I just had one goal in mind. I wanted them to learn to walk. God doesn't keep score. Can I talk to you here before you go home? God doesn't keep score. He loves you and He will always love you. Do you think that the father in the story of the prodigal son, do you think for one minute that he ever stopped loving his boy? Even he knew he spent all his money. He knew he did. He's probably smart enough to know he spent it on some bad things. But do you think that ever made that father quit loving that child? In no way. When that boy finally came to himself, that father didn't say, okay, and get your tail down and gravel in the dirt and tell me how sorry you are because you're such a low-down scum. That's not in your Bible. You know what's in your Bible? He said, my son that was dead is alive. He said, go kill the fatted calf and bring him a new garment and put a chain about his neck and put new sandals on his feet and let's party. Can I tell you that God will never stop loving you? You say, Pastor, when I sin, what does He do? He keeps loving you. When I mess up, what does God do? He keeps loving you. You say, how do you know that? Because Romans tells me nothing can separate me from the love of God. Angels can't, demons can't. If I went up into the heavens, that can't. If I went into the heart of the ocean, that can't. Principalities and powers, none of it can. None of it can separate me from the love of Christ Jesus. He loves you. You say, Pastor, I messed up big time. Well, guess what? Join the club. There's not one person in here that can't say they've never messed up. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I can have joy in knowing that He never stops loving me. You say, well, when I sin and I continue in sin, what does that mean? Well, sure, God gets upset because He doesn't want you to do that and He's going to discipline you. But that doesn't mean He still don't love you. He disciplines you enough because He loves you, because He cares about you. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you say, what do you mean know Christ? That means I've repented of my sins. I've asked God to forgive me. I'm asking Him to fill me with His Spirit, which is His DNA. And I'm baptized and I take upon His name as a covenant. If I don't have that relationship, then guess what? You can have a Ferrari and live in a Mac mansion in Beverly Hills. It doesn't mean you're going to have joy. Because it's only in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. If you're away from the Lord and you thought, man, if I did this, if I got this, if I received this, if I did this, boy, I was going to be real happy. And you did all that and you're still not happy, then won't you come back to the Father's house? and ask God, God, would you restore the joy of my salvation? You've been a great audience. Thank you for being here this morning. Would you bow your heads?
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.